Football is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. Whether you are searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or just need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There is nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek gets you closer to the action for great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever, and it certainly has for me in the past. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And it doesn't end with sports. SeatGeek has plenty of tickets to concerts, comedy, and theater, too. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I have found to shop for tickets. And I actually just used SeatGeek to buy tickets to a game last week, and the process could not have been smoother. Best of all, fantasy-focused baseball listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. UCL is damaged to the point where Tommy John surgery has been recommended for him. And then later that evening, Ohtani went out and went 4-for-4, homered, stole base, you know, sold hot dogs.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball for a beautiful Thursday morning, September 6, 2018. I am Eric. He is Tristan. We've got with us today editorial watchdog Leo Howe and producer Anthony Calatayud, and in absentia, our pal and top researcher Kyle Soppy. All right, it's opening day for football, so let's get to it. Le'Veon Bell, Tristan, what are we doing with him? I'm trading him for Shohei Ohtani, I think.
Can he pitch? Can he hit? Does he DH? Does he play right field? Is he lefty? Does he need a Tommy John surgery? The questions just go on.
Obviously, there's a lot going on in the football world, and we recommend you check out the Fantasy Focus Football as well. They do great work there. The season starts tonight, but there still is baseball. Not a lot of baseball tonight, but it's our first show in a week. We're going to get you back on track here, get you ready for the weekend. We got to talk about the big issues in sports. We have a new 30-30 threat, and wow, he might get there by the weekend. And the most, what's the word you want to use for Ohtani? He is an attraction. You've got to watch every time he plays, whether he's pitching or hitting. We're going to talk about him as well.
Yep.
Later on, the hash browns and the combo meals and all that fun. Here we go with the buzz. You know what? We'll get right to Ohtani. I was thinking of other things to write about today in my blog, and I still do a daily blog, people. And I just thought, like this is what people want to know about. I feel like I've written about it every day. We knew that there was something going on with Ohtani, with the arm. Now we have confirmation, although I feel like we had some confirmation like 3 months ago, but the UCL is damaged to the point where Tommy John surgery has been recommended for him. And then later that evening, Ohtani went out and went 4-for-4, homered, stole base, you know, sold hot dogs, did pretty much everything. What exactly did he do last night? It was two home runs.
He homered twice, and he finally homered off a left-handed pitcher.
No, he did that the day before. He homered off Mike Minor the day before.
Okay, then he did another one.
Yeah, he hit another one off a lefty.
Yeah.
So I think why don't we prepare people for what we think is going to happen here? Because even if he has the Tommy John surgery, say in 4 weeks, you know, when the season's officially over, doesn't mean he can't play next season. And I saw...
Well, I'll define the way in which there...
Well, that's the whole point. Like,
right.
I've seen both sides of this. I've seen where it said, if you have Tommy John surgery, he can't play at all. But he probably could. He just couldn't throw. I don't know what they're going to do here. I don't know what the Angels can do here. So you tell me, what do you think will happen here? And then let's compare him with some hitters. Because if he got 500 at-bats next season, I wrote in passing in my blog the other day that we could see Christian Yelich-type numbers. And I know you're going to get all over me about that. But in terms of power and potential speed, this is a guy who can steal 20 bases. I mean, he's a terrific athlete.
Absolutely.
I really think this would be like Yelich light if he got 500 at-bats. And I think that actually might happen next year. What do you think?
Well, that's a mouthful.
It's a crazy comp. It's a crazy comp.
It is a crazy comp. They're not similar players, but I see where you're going at with the stats. It's the batting average that comes immediately to mind. Let's break it down then. First of all, I like the nickname. The Showtime nickname works. He's must watch baseball. He's fun. he's out for pitching for next year. We're not sure when he's going to come back on that front. I think the debate is warranted as to whether he should just focus on being a hitter. I like the idea, as you're proposing here, that he could get 500 PAs next year. I think if he has Tommy John surgery in the next, you know, before this season ends, even if he has it right at the end of the season, hitters can come back much more quickly. And I don't think this is going to have some sort of major impact on his year next year. He might have to begin the year working his way back, you know, before he can even hit. But let's say, as you said, 500 PAs. Can he put up Christian Yelich numbers? No, I don't think it's quite to that level. First of all, he's not the ground ball hitter that Christian Yelich is. This guy actually is a lot better at lifting the ball. This guy's got a little bit better power, I think, to center field. If you look at his home run spray chart, he has a lot of power to dead center. That means the raw power potential is extraordinary for him. And I wonder whether the Angels would use him in an everyday DH role, knowing that he can't pitch anyway. I like the idea that maybe the role could expand on a day-by-day basis. He might actually be the kind of player who's DH only, who you can slot in with confidence as a DH, and is like kind of a contender for Nelson Cruz for the top honor at his position.
I agree. The upside here as a hitter is fantastic. I mean, we've seen him make adjustments during the season. Still doesn't hit lefties well, but he has a couple homers in the last couple of days.
Hasn't had experience against them. That's another thing. I think if you played him against them, I think he'd be pretty decent.
I think he would learn. I mean, I think this is a 30-homer guy who could steal 15 to 20 bases and hit 280, making him a poor man's Yelich. I mean, you come up with a better comp. I'm trying to think of a lefty hitter with power and a little bit of speed. I mean, look at he's such an athlete. I mean,
It's like he's better than Polanco. I mean, I'm trying to think of the guys who have decent pop and very good pop and decent speed. He's a better hitter, I think, than Polanco
is. Definitely better than Gregory Polanco. I mean, this is a lefty guy with the guy that, I don't know. I mean, here's my concern about him as a pitcher, all right? He's going to miss all next season. Mm-hmm. He barely pitched this year. He's thrown like 75 innings over the past three seasons now between here and Japan. I mean, are you really expecting him to throw 175 innings in 2020? How long are you going to wait for him as a pitcher? I think we have to start viewing him as a hitter. Now, I don't know what the Angels view him as, but and he might not even be an Angel in the next 3 years, like 3 years from now. That's the other thing. It's just a weird situation with Ohtani. Where are you ranking him for the final 3 weeks? Do you think he plays regularly as a DH?
Well, I mean, the fact that they haven't announced a surgery date for him means that I don't think he has firmly decided this, and I wonder whether he's going to make the decision during the year. So I can't really take him out of my rankings. As a hitter, I won't rank him as generously as I did in the last rankings update. I just put one up there on Tuesday, but it was accounting for the possibility of 2-3 more starts. I think he's probably around 200 overall, which means a very clear guy who needs to be rostered in all leagues. And in our game, where you have the daily league the daily transactions, there's a real advantage to having a guy like Ohtani.
Why wouldn't he be like near top 100 to you?
He's not going
to
play every day.
But he's not going to pitch anymore. So why wouldn't they start him 4 or 5 times a week?
Because that was the case a couple of weeks ago and they weren't doing it. Now, granted, they don't have Albert Pujols. They're missing other pieces, so they could throw him in there every day. And I think that they should. And I think they should do that next year. And frankly, the fact that the role is in question to me has a big bearing on his dynasty value. As you said, questioned whether he's going to throw enough innings. I'd make the argument, I think his maximum value for the Angels and for fantasy managers is that he becomes a relief pitcher. I actually think it might be better for him if he works as a relief pitcher, is kept somewhere between 50 and 100 innings tops in any given year, and he hits a lot more often. A lot of flexibility, too, and you could potentially throw him in the outfield long-term down the road.
Where are you going to rank him for 2000? As of today, because this is what I wrote about today.
Yep.
As of today, is he... You can't make him a top 30 outfielder because he's not outfield eligible.
But I want to
rank him as a top 30 outfielder right now for 2019. I want to do that. So in like relation, like Nelson Cruz in relation to the top 10 outfielders is a top 10 outfielder or close to it. Right. I want to make Ohtani between 25 and 30 at outfield. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's at all crazy. I'm going to do it.
I actually don't either. And I think that the desire here, especially considering, as we said, he does have a prospect of playing next year as a regular hitter. I don't think that's outrageous. I think that in the end, he might fall lower than that because there will be legitimate question as to whether he can hit on opening day. Maybe it's they're going to throw sometime in May as the projected return date. That's going to influence the ranking. But I agree with you. On the per-game basis and in our game where you have daily transactions, absolutely I can make it a top 30 outfield case.
All right, let's move on. There's other players in baseball, including Trevor Story, who clearly wants to be a 30-30 option. And then last night he hit 3 home runs. You know, I wrote about Trevor Story in yesterday's blog entry, and I'm sure you read it, Tristan, because I that's the first thing you do every morning is check out the Cara blog.
I'm sorry. I put the forecaster up first, but then I do read the Cara blog. I'll tell you, I had a lot more fun when I could just click on your headshot here, and it would bring up the whole Cara blog for me.
Yeah, I don't even know where it is anymore.
But, I can find it.
I wrote about Story was he's decided to run. He's not a base stealer, but he's decided to run. It's almost like the Lance Berkman year. Like, Trevor Story didn't run all that much his first two major league seasons. He made, obviously, great adjustments at the plate. He's swinging at better pitches in the strike zone. Still not a great walker, but walks enough. He knows what he's swinging at. K rate got lower. He has Coors Field. But I noticed a month ago, he was only stealing bases in road games. Now, this week, he's stealing bases all the time. He wants 30-30. The headline in the article yesterday said, is he a second round pick? Is he a top 20 fantasy option for next year? I sense that's generous. How much?
I sense that's generous too, but I really like the question. And I'd love to make this case for him. And, you know, in his defense here, since I feel like you're a little negative on the steals potential, you're right. He has shown a propensity for stolen bases throughout his pro career. He did have 2 years with 20-plus steals in the minor leagues. The main issue with trying to buy too much into this year's raw stolen base total is, and I'm not great at, honestly, I don't think there's a great metric yet for defining stolen bases on a projections basis. But if you look at the Fangraphs metrics for him, all of the base running numbers are really within range of the previous 2 years. So I don't know that this is anything more than flukiness, just, you know, getting the green light more often, or just deciding that he's going to go,
just,
as you would
say. He just Berkman did. He decided, right, I want to steal bases this year. That's all this is, I think.
But I think it's 15 steals from a full season basis in terms of the metrics themselves as to what he should be doing.
I think if we're projecting next year, wouldn't we be projecting like 280, 35, and 15 steals? That makes him a reasonable second-round pick or third-round pick.
I do like that projection. I could quibble with you over the batting average by a few points because of his strikeout nature. But this is the other thing. You wrote this, too, that he's making more consistent contact and he made a specific adjustment that I do think increases his batting average potential.
He's only striking out 25% of the time. That's nothing now. That's no big deal.
It's nothing, but it does put a player at some risk, especially when you're talking about a Coors Field guy who wavers between home road.
All right, let's some pitchers here to watch. Trevor Williams, speaking of Trevors, is he the best ERA in baseball since the All-Star break? Since June 11th, 0.66 ERA, 3.15 ERA this season, far outperforming the FIP, which is 4.75. But it's September now, so like I'm not sure I look at FIP anymore when trying to decide what pitchers are going to do the final 3 weeks. Obviously, we have a baseline of 5 months here to decide who has outperformed or underperformed their peripheral numbers. Trevor Williams has obviously outperformed them. Why are we going to say he stops now? I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Within a year, and especially with the amount of time we have left, I mean, we're looking at 25 remaining days of baseball on the current schedule. So that's 5 starts. Why are we going to criticize what Trevor Williams could give you over those starts? He has a good ballpark that he calls his home anyway. I would seriously question his ability for 2019, however.
Oh, yeah.
Because all the metrics, I mean, the guy has an extremely low strikeout rate. When you look at his stats, I'm like, where is this coming from?
I don't know how he's doing it, frankly. I mean, 31 strikeouts in 49 and two-thirds innings since the All-Star break, but an 0.72 ERA and a 1.03 whip. Yes, next year probably goes back to a 4 ERA. But if you look at these are the top 10 pitchers in ERA, minimum 40 innings since the All-Star break. And some of these guys are still available in ESPN leagues.
Yep.
Trevor Williams is still available. Zach Wheeler in some leagues is.
Yep.
David Price, Jake DeGrom, Clay Buchholz still out there, still putting up numbers, even though I don't want to recommend him.
Yep.
Clayton Kershaw, who's at Coors tomorrow. Derek Rodriguez, who's still pitching great. I mean, there's still nothing wrong with Derek Rodriguez. Then Scherzer and Nola, the other two NL Cy Young guys, and Wade Miley, who I will never recommend, but look at these numbers, Tristan.
Yeah.
2.06 ERA since the break. Why are we not recommending him? He's figured something out, maybe going to the National League again. I just, at some point, when you get to September, you got to say, all right, Derek Holland is not a fluke, okay?
Yeah.
Austin Gomber is not a fluke. They're doing this. So I want to, and Mike Fiers last night, I knew, you know what? I wrote this in yesterday's blog entry that you didn't read, and I said, I knew Mike Fiers was going to outperform Luis Severino. I was so positive about it, and I kind of tiptoed a little bit, and I said, why is nobody rostering Fiers when he's going to beat Severino, who's like third in earned runs since the All-Star break. And Severino was awful. Now, look, Gary Sanchez should be their everyday first baseman next year. That was awful, that first inning.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, he can't catch anymore. He just can't. But, and you know it. And that's going to take away fantasy value, too.
I'm laughing about the fact we were just talking about how I read yesterday's on there. So I didn't even get into the other thing I really disagree with you on that one.
Well, I want to hear it. Let's hear it.
Well,
you read it.
You brought up the story BABIP on road games.
Why is that? That's just
it's,
the luck.
It's just wait. Yeah. And I don't want to criticize the guy. I mean, he still has had an extraordinary year. But one of the things that strikes me for batting average is that his 373 road BABIP is top 12 in the game in road games. And that's 73 points above the league's road BABIP.
If he was hitting .295, Tristan, on May 1st, we would say, of course, that's not going to continue. But it's September 6th.
Well,
I know what you mean.
April 20th.
But the point is, I don't look at BABIP anymore. It's not going to regress.
Your point about chasing the streaks today is absolutely valid. And a lot of my rankings lean towards this, where guys like Buchholz and Mike Fiers and Trevor Williams are getting pretty decent rankings there, just because why should we doubt these players? Williams, you know, he strikes me from the year-over-year basis, though. He seems so Tanner Roark-ish.
Yeah.
That means an exceptional guy at times who just bucks the trends with the peripherals, but just worry a little bit from a full season draft perspective next year. Take a closer look first.
Top pitchers on the most added list, Trevor Williams of Pittsburgh, Luis Castillo of Cincinnati, who every other month does something. Jeremy Jeffress is occasionally closing. I don't think Corey Knebel is getting any save chances the rest of the year.
Pitched well so far in middle relief, but I agree.
Lucas Giolito, who I recommended, then he got slaughtered the other day. Herman Marquez of Colorado, who looks legit. Wade LeBlanc, who doesn't throw hard, but is still getting away with it. Framber Valdez, I'm not sure how many starts he gets. Gomber of St. Louis is legit. Jace Fry's a closer. I don't know. There's a lot of guys. Jake Junis I picked up in my head-to-head league. I needed two start guys. I picked up Junis. I picked up somebody else who got lit. But
you're not going to be happy.
Junis is not starting this week?
No, he's not. I also got burned on Cal Gibson, some Nathan Eovaldi. People.
Why? What changed? Why are they pushing back?
The Royals, they did shut down Danny Duffy for the year. However, they are bringing Ian Kennedy back to what they're projecting as a six-man rotation, and Kennedy's scheduled tentatively for Sunday.
Well, I'm tentatively angry.
I agree with you. It's the worst time of year to have this happen. I'll tell you, in my points league, the guy in second place has shaved 250 points off me in the past 2 weeks. I'm in trouble.
You passed me in our points league. I'm not too happy about that, although we're not going to win.
So yeah, I just saw, Schoenfeld zoomed ahead of us again.
Oh, now in the office league, he's in first again? See, I'm not going to catch you guys. It's you or him for first in that league. I think I'll take third.
The three of us were effectively tied 3 weeks ago.
No, we weren't. It was you and him. I was not tied. I have never caught up to him.
How many of your leagues are going crazy in the standings right now? A lot of fluctuation. I'm curious.
Not as many as yours, apparently. I mean, labor just hasn't fluctuated ever in NL labor.
Yeah, it has.
No.
Labor's up for grabs now.
It is?
Yes, labor NL is definitely up for grabs at this point.
He would have texted me if it was.
Tout Wars NL is very much up for grabs now. Three teams within 6.5 points at this stage at the top. I don't think I can win it, though. The leagues have been getting a little bit crazy lately.
Well, that's a good thing, right? I mean, we want leagues to be crazy.
Oh, and I'm going to lose my head-to-head league. I was the number one seed with two more wins than anyone in the regular season. I'm going to lose my first week playoff head-to-head matchup. Just watch.
Wow, that lead is down to 3.5. Okay, let's get to some relief pitcher talk. It's the carousel.
The closer carousel.
I just don't check the standings that often in that league because I'm not going to win. Like, I'm not even close. I make my weekly moves, but, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get depresses me when I look at the standings. What might have been?
Yep.
That team was good. I had a good team, and then just a bunch of guys like the one bad season of Jay Bruce, and then Manuel Margot, and the Carlos Martinez injury. Now he's in the bullpen. I just that should have been a better team.
Don't you have Trevor Williams on that team?
No.
Or was he the guy who you just missed at the auction? I remember we talked about it.
I wanted to spend the extra dollar. I didn't do it, and it's costing me. Mm. Kenley Jansen not pitching this weekend against the Rockies in their place because of the
irregular heartbeat. He showed the symptoms the last time they were in Coors. That's where this started.
Yeah, it's and I agree with that decision. Of course, we have to. I mean, he comes first. You know, they can have Ryan Matson close for a weekend. It's not a big deal. And by the way, season's not over for them. Even if they get swept, Even if the Phillies get swept, I keep telling this to people, and a lot of Phillies people are reaching out to me saying, "You're nuts. They had a win yesterday." No, they didn't. Okay, they just
Who
had to
said,
beat the
Braves. These are over.
Oh, dude, have you ever been on Twitter? I'm just telling you, people like overreact to everything. But yes, the Phillies are disappointing me. They're just not very good. But anyway, Jansen's out this weekend. I think Ryan Madsen is the guy who's going to pick up the saves this weekend. That's what I think. Maybe it's Kenta Maeda. I'm sure you do.
No, actually, I could see any of the three getting it. I just, if I was going to.
It can't
place
be Jansen. So it's either Madsen or Maeda this weekend. I have Madsen. You have Maeda. Brandon Morrow's done. I think we can say that. Even Joe Maddon has admitted that. Even if he comes back, it's for the last week. He probably wouldn't get any saves. Pedro Strop, they're saying it might be committee. I don't believe them. So cut Brandon Morrow. And look, this is exactly what we thought was going to happen. This is exactly what we said in March. Brandon Morrow cannot stay healthy. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean to him. I can't stay healthy either when I play softball. I'm just saying that Brandon Morrow could not save 30 games because he couldn't be on the field enough.
Correct. That said, I think that if you ended up with Brandon Morrow at your draft, you have no reason to be anything but pleased with what he did give you.
What he did give you was good, but then he stopped giving it to you halfway through the season.
But that you should have expected it, and if you didn't, then if you expected more, then shame on you.
Any other closer thoughts here? Boxberger still closing. St. Louis, I guess. Martinez
yep,
got
absolutely.
A save. Jordan Hicks. I still think Bednarz gets the next save chance on Friday, though, don't you?
I disagree with that. No, absolutely
Who do you think
not.
It is? It's not Jordan Martinez.
I think it is Jordan Hicks's job. I think that Hicks was merely unavailable yesterday after working the 2 days before. Mm. Bednarz might not even be available for this game because he threw so much the other day. Even if he is, I think the time has come for them to make a change.
Yankee update, what do you think?
They're mixing and matching. Now, the Yankees aren't winning enough and putting themselves into save chances for us to judge this properly, but I get the impression that any time David Robertson is available, he's going to be the first read, and then it's going to be Dylan Betances second.
All right, here are the combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal!
You know, one of the most underrated players this season has been still not even rostered in 10% of leagues, eligible at three infield positions and outfield. I looked at his minor league numbers as soon as he started playing early in the season. I was like, this is a potential double-double guy. And you know what? He did it. Nico Goodrum of the Tigers, 16 home runs, 11 stolen bases. Now, he didn't hit for batting average. Not a lot of RBI on that team. But he's the number two hitter over the past 7 days. And I bet if I looked at the last 30, he's kind of up there as well. So, Nico Goodrum, good for you. Now, I don't know if he plays at all next year. You know, I don't know what the Tigers do at a lot of different positions, but he had a combo meal last Thursday. Brett Phillips had one. I think he's hurt now, isn't he? I don't think he's playing anymore. Trevor Story and DJ LeMahieu did it on Monday. Mikey Matuk and Austin Barnes did it on Tuesday. The rare catcher with the combo meal, although it does happen, I suppose. Wednesday, Shohei Ohtani, Ronnie Rodriguez, and Denard Span. A lot of combo meals for players that just aren't rostered. Like, nobody's got Ronnie Rodriguez or Mikey Matuk. Austin Barnes, I thought he would do more this year, didn't you? Like, I thought he was... I didn't think he would split with Grandal, but I thought it'd be closer than it was.
Yeah, I mean, I was... Given the choice, I was leaning to Grandal there, but I did feel like it was a legitimate battle between the two. I think the two of them I had ranked 12th and 14th, so I saw there being some sort of timeshare.
I wonder, are we ahead of last year's pace for combo meals? I mean, you don't have to tell me right now, but for Monday's show, I'm just curious, like, how many were there last year, and are we on pace to better it or worse? Like,
give me a moment and I'll
find
it.
Seems to me there'd be a lot of combo meals this season, a lot of strange players doing it too, but I don't know.
I'll find it.
Steals are down. Aren't they? They're still down.
They're definitely down, yes.
Despite what Trevor Story's doing. Still nobody's going to even approach 50 steals. Or anyone going to get to 40? I don't think anybody's going to get to 40 steals. What? Am I laughing?
It's incredible what's happened to the stolen base. I mean, I think who was the last guy we just debated on last week's show? I even mentioned him. You know, 15 steals. It's so important now.
Oh, yeah. That's what I think Ohtani's going to do next year. Trey Turner is the only guy right now who has a legit shot at 40 steals. He's at 35 steals. And what a season.
Wow,
how can you complain about Trey Turner, people? 17 homers, 35 steals, 86 runs scored. That's fantastic. 30-30 options. Jose Ramirez needs one stolen base. Mookie Betts needs three and a homer. He should get that. Trevor Story needs five steals, but the way he's been running of late, I think he'll make it. And I think that's it. Trout and Lindor fall short. Javier Baez stopped running. Still, three 30-30 guys when no one did it the last four seasons?
All right, I got it for you on combo meals. It was 207 combo meals in 2017. It's 166
not
so
even
far
close.
This year.
Wow, way under.
Yeah, all right, let's look at the schedule. And I guess because today's our football day, there's not a whole lot going on today. But on ESPN Plus, you can watch those Atlanta Braves. Wow, what a game yesterday! I yelled when Brandon Phillips hit the home
run. That
home.
Was incredible.
I'm a Phillies fan. I can yell when the Braves lose a game. All right? Annabelle
I wasn't happy, though. So you were happy and I was unhappy.
Why are you unhappy?
Catching
the Red Sox. Come on. You better worry about hosting that wild card game, fella. Because Severino's a mess. I think Tanaka gets the start in the wild card game.
Because we thought Sevy was pitching that game. I mean, here's the other thing about that. The fact that they threw him in that game suggested to me that he isn't necessarily their lead guy.
I'm just saying this.
Why show him to the ace this close to the
that game? That game could very well end up in Oakland or in Houston. I still think Oakland has a shot at the division. Annabelle Sanchez Fair. Against Zach Greinke today. You know what? I'm sticking with Annabelle Sanchez. He keeps pitching well. I'm sticking with him. I'm not using Shane Bieber anymore. Sorry. Too many hits.
Okay.
He's given up a lot of stuff. I think next year he could be a top 30 guy. I'm not going to rank him that way. I'm going to rank him better than most, top 50. But he gives up a lot of hits, a lot of hard contact.
I'm still on board with Bieber just because.
I'm on board. I'm just like, I'm scared.
I see your point. But thankfully, because he's still keeping that elite control, I think there's some value in him.
ESPN Plus on Friday night is Cleveland at Toronto. Carlos Carrasco and Marco Estrada. Go with Carrasco there. Anthony DeSclafani is starting at San Diego at home. It's a 6:40 start time for some reason. DeSclafani's pitched well. I would use him against San Diego at home, of course. Joe Ross is back on the mound for Washington. How about that?
Yep.
Against the Cubs. You don't want to use him there, though.
He's a guy to use these outings to evaluate for 2019 potential.
Chris Archer at home against Miami. It's a trap, I tell you. It's a trap. He's going to give up three runs
right,
in five
Akbar.
Innings. Five innings, three runs for Chris Archer at home against Miami.
Come on, he just threw pretty well in the last game. I think he can. I'd start Archer here. I'm worried about depth, you know, like his depth. He doesn't work deep into games, but he's a go for me. Really?
He's a little overrated.
You're going to take Straley over him?
A lot over it. No. I'm not going that far.
Okay.
Kevin Gausman at Arizona. I think you got to use him.
Gausman's pitched great in the National League, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go with him. How about this Tanaka and Paxton? That's a matchup, huh? Seattle basically just has to win out.
That, you know, a month ago, that could have been the wild card game matchup. I mean, remember that's where everybody was talking, the Yankees facing James Paxton.
Saturday on ESPN Plus, Walker Buehler. Oh, love him. But at Coors Field... Are you going with Walker Buehler at Coors Field against Kyle Freeland, who's pitched well as well? I mean, can you go with either of those guys at Coors? I mean, Kershaw tomorrow, that's one thing.
Freeland scares me because the Dodgers represent a tough matchup for him, you know, counting the Coors thing. I'm okay with Walker Buehler. I'm not wild about either one. I mean, if I'm taking the choice here, I'm going to take Buehler. By the way, Buehler, the last time at Coors Field, August, 7 shutout innings.
Oh, it happens from time to time.
Derek Rodriguez had a decent game in Coors, too, if I'm not mistaken. He just didn't go deep.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Matt Shoemaker's back on the mound. This will be his second start in a while. Ooh, Cole Hamels and Max Scherzer. That's fun. How about that?
That's a good one.
Man, Washington fans just have to be miserable right now. They should be up by like 10 games in the NLs, right? I mean, they really should. Atlanta and Philly. I mean, Philly's no good. Atlanta is like, at least they have the offense. But how did Washington not win this division? Oh.
Washington was likely a popular National League champion pick.
Oh, everybody took them.
Right.
What a disaster. All right, Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. It's Dallas Keuchel and Rick Porcello. How about that one? Houston and Boston could be a playoff preview there. Certainly both teams will be in the playoffs. Boston, they're not going to break the record for wins in a season, despite what they did. And by the way, don't roster Brandon Phillips. I think the only way Brandon Phillips can become relevant in fantasy is if Rafael Devers just can't play, right?
Yeah, and I mean, and he was back and he played. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? I forget the game I was watching. he's not going to play just because that game was treated as if it was day after clinch day.
Yeah.
I mean, they threw what was effectively spring training, and they still won the game. It was a kind of ugly game late in it, but, you know.
It says here Jake Junis is pitching at Minnesota on Sunday, but Tristan says no.
They are tentatively targeting an Ian Kennedy return for Sunday. Now, because they scratched Danny Duffy, Kennedy could go Monday, but the info I have right now says Kennedy Sunday. Good luck to you. I hope it is Junis, because, you planned like that. It stinks when they get taken out.
Well, that would mean, you know, that Junis is a two-star guy next week, in theory. So, I mean, like, I'm going to be in the playoffs next week, so.
But remember that, if it's a six-man rotation, if there's an off day midweek.
Stop
there is not.
Saying things.
I'm trying to help you.
How's that helping?
Because I want you to know what you're getting from your pitchers, and the Royals do have seven games next week. So
sometimes I just don't want to know what I'm getting from my pitchers, especially when they're Royals.
Oh, you need to know this time of year. It's critical.
You know what
absolutely
you need to know? This is critical too, because today's hash browns are brought to you by Hims with an exclamation point. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. And the thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, I'm told it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Why do guys turn to weird solutions or just do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? The solution is 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and other wellness supplements for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. You can save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. Answer a few quick questions. Doctors will review, prescribe you the products that will suit you best. Products are shipped directly to your front door. Order now. Fantasy focused baseball listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or pharmacy, but go to 4hims.com/FFB. That's FORHIMS.com/FFB. 4hims.com/FFB. All righty. People have questions, Tristan. They need your expertise. You are a winner of leagues. And by knowing that, people want to know what you think because they want to win their league, or if they lose it, they want to blame you. I'm on the outside here. I don't have to worry because I'm just reading the questions.
Yeah,
says
the guy in third behind me and second in the office league. So this is still a race, I say.
I'm just saying, like, I'm going to finish third in that league, and you can win. I can't win that league. I can't win.
Sorry. I think I can win that league. I think I can win four of my other leagues.
Four?
Yes.
Wow,
four others in addition to that one. So
see,
it's five.
People, you guys are listening. And
watch, I won't win a single one.
Need this information. Tristan's going to win like three of the four. And
then
he's
going to
be disappointed.
I might blow it in my points league, which is the one that looked like I had the best shot. Probably fall short and tout. I'll be the pessimist now. I'll finish in second in the office league. My NL one, I'm point and a half up. What was the other one?
You really have no right to complain. I got to say this, okay? I'm your friend, but you stop complaining. You've won so many leagues over the years, made fantasy baseball history. Like a millionaire complaining he doesn't have enough money.
It's not like I was the first guy or...
You're the all-time winningest fantasy baseball manager ever.
Oh, please. I don't think that's remotely true. Didn't you win the office league like eight consecutive seasons?
That's irrelevant.
Oh man, now it's irrelevant though. Jeez.
Not gonna win it this year. All right.
I like the fact that you agreed that it was eight consecutive years. Was it longer?
No, it was like five or six. It was the first five or six. I don't know why people kept playing. You were.
Because I remember who dethroned you, and I remember that draft, and it was full. It was a full room.
Oh, yeah. The guy next to me was like, he had never heard of the player, but because I brought him up for bid, just outbid me anyway.
Oh,
that was
huge
fun.
The 20-teamer, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
that was
right.
Fun. Like, he literally, he looked to his neighbors like, who is this that I just bid on? Who
we
did
both
I get?
Lost that year, though. No, we did that in one of the what was it?
Because when people are just going after you, there's not much you can do.
Building 14 conference room or something?
Hey, you have a better memory than me. That's ancient history. We have questions here. Justin writes, I've been piecing together the catcher position since the All-Star break. Any suggestions for an available guy that can get me by the rest of the way? Ah, well, I'm sure we have some suggestions here. I mean, I look at the added drop list to see suggestions, and then I'm like, I don't think so. But there's got to be some decent options here. I mean, Blake Swihart starting today. Does that interest you at all? No? Maybe not?
There will be days where
so
it does.
Two of the top three catchers on the 30-day player rater are readily available in ESPN leagues. Number one guy is JT Realmuto. Number two is Manny Pena.
Wait. What? Realmuto can't possibly be widely available.
No. He's the number one catcher on the player rater for 30
days.
Oh,
you're saying
numbers
that,
two and
okay.
three are I available. See. Manny yes. Pena of the Brewers, Mitch Garver of the Twins.
Yep.
Number five is Kevin Plawecki. How about that?
yep.
Didn't see that coming. The guy I was thinking of has done nothing. Well,
who's
the
that?
Two guys that I like aren't doing much, but Taylor Ward, who's somehow eligible there
yep.
for the Angels, and then the Blue Jays rookie with the glasses, who I don't know, Danny Jansen, has really not done much, but I still like them. But your thoughts on Pena or Garver? I mean, obviously they've hit well of late. Garver was a hitter in the minors. Like, he was a guy who did stuff. He had a 4 RBI game last week, and that's about it. So I don't really know what he's really doing. It doesn't take much, basically, over the past 30 days to be a top 10 catcher, I guess is what it's showing.
Okay, so first, I'm sorry, Justin, I'm not trying to be critical here, though, because I think I get what you're asking.
Don't tell him to punt.
No, I'm going to tell him he's being lazy if he wants to take one guy who, quote, gets me through the rest of the way. I understand if you have an ads cap or something like that, that wow. You might be forced.
What did Justin do to you?
No, you cannot possibly lock one guy in. We've talked about this before. I've got that Gary Sanchez team where when he was on the DL, I didn't even use the catcher spot. If you need to fill that spot, you got to be doing it by matchups. And I like your suggestions here of Pena and Garver because they play a good amount. The teams have confidence in them getting, I'd say, roughly 70% of the starts the rest of the way. So if you got to go there, I'd take Garver first.
You mean future first baseman Gary Sanchez? How soon do you think that happens? I'm being serious now. Did they do it next year?
I think they might, just because first base is very much up for grabs with Greg Bird stinking. And, you know, no idiots here
on
the show.
Am I overrating
some
this?
Crazy thing about Greg Bird.
It's not
I don't
like Gary
ever
Sanchez,
remember that.
Sanchez
Leo, you deleted that, I hope.
I don't want to like, overrate what happened late last night. But Gary Sanchez was not a good defensive catcher before last night.
No, he was not. That just
I don't see how they can't sign a catcher and just move him to another position. First base. He's got to be a first baseman or a DH.
See, the question would be who exactly you're going to get to do that. But I do think Sanchez's future is not. I don't think
can't
it's going to be as a catcher. The long term future
be.
Won't be there.
All right. Derek writes, out of contention, if the season ended today, who is in your. It doesn't matter if it ends today. Who is in your 2019 first round?
Okay.
I mean, it's probably not that hard to figure it out, right? I mean, we could do this quite easily. The top of the player, the top picks to me. Are Trout, Betts, and Jose Ramirez. Probably in that order right now. And then I would actually think about Max Scherzer. I think you have to.
Wow, that now I would never have expected you to say that.
But I mean...
Are you really going to do that?
No.
Then why are you putting it
forth? Because who else, like... Javier Baez doesn't feel like a first-rounder to me. Francisco Lindor, I guess I would. J.D. Martinez doesn't feel like a first-round pick to me. What hitters? Goldschmidt? Like, if it's Goldschmidt or Scherzer, I guess I'd have to think about Scherzer. Yeah, I would. I don't know if I would do it. Machado is up there, shortstop eligible. I think Alex Bregman now deserves a look.
Did you say Jose Altuve in there? I feel like you didn't say Jose Altuve in there.
That's well said.
Are we concerned about Altuve? Would you put him in your top 10 next year automatically? Over Baez, over Lindor, over Bregman? I'm not sure I would anymore.
So when I ran the last rankings update, which pulled the seasonal player rater, even with the missed time, he was still a top 50 player. So I think Altuve is going to make a compelling case. It's just I think he's going to fall in that bin of several other guys who could be, you know, 12 to 14 players trying to squeeze into the final seven spots.
What if Altuve is no longer a 20 homer, 25 steal guy?
Is he still a 330 potential hitting?
I think he can still hit 330, but I wonder about the power. Like, the power's way down this
year. It's the weird thing of, like, you can draft him early, but it changes the way you have to draft because you are drafting these specific categories. And obviously for points, like, it's totally different. But, like, if nobody's going to get to 40 steals and he gives you 25 with the most premium batting average you can get from a regular player, there's value there, but you then have to draft around it. And if you get Mookie Betts, you just don't have to draft around anything. You just took, you know, great stats. So I could see taking, you know, Betts, Ramirez, Trout ahead of him, but I feel like at some point, like, he fills a similar role to Trey Turner, but with different categories, I guess.
Turner is exactly what I thought of. You're right. You're if you take Turner, it's the same situation where you have to address other categories. It takes you in a certain direction in the draft. But Turner's a first round candidate.
I think Arenado and Altuve are probably still top 10 guys. Goldschmidt is too. You're right.
Are you sure about Goldschmidt?
I wouldn't. Now you're not sure about him?
I might argue for Freeman over Goldschmidt.
Well, he hasn't run this year, so that's the separator. But, I mean, he's had a great year. Don't you have Goldschmidt ranked over Freeman right now?
I didn't up until this last update. I had them right next to
each other. I don't know if I want to put either in the first round.
I don't think I want to either.
I don't know if I want to put Trevor Story over him. But I'll say right now, Trout, Betts, Jose Ramirez, top three. After that, it's a tier with, like, Arenado, I think still Goldschmidt, I think Turner.
I'm a no on Goldschmidt in that level, but I don't think it's way, way off.
I mean, frankly, Goldschmidt and J.D. Martinez should be viewed similarly. So that seems to me like 12, 13, 14, maybe.
JD, I think, is probably going to make that first round for most
Baez
people.
Baez and Lindor will make my first round.
So Baez will. Lindor absolutely will. I think Lindor might be the number four pick for me.
Joe writes, what do I do with Severino for the fantasy playoffs? I think you sit him. I've had enough. I don't care what he did last year. I don't care what he did the first 3 months. He looks awful, and he's looked awful for the last 2 months. I don't know who they're playing next week. I don't care. He's been lit up by bad teams. I know you're going to disagree with me, Tristan, but I'm telling you, if I have Luis Severino, he's on my bench next week.
I'm only going to disagree with you in that that's a really firm and kind of damning prognosis.
It's 2 months of bad pitching.
I get it. And
if his name was Mike Fiers, you would have cut him.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, I like Mike Fiers, and I have for several weeks at this point, so...
Tyler Glasnow is getting cut today by every fantasy manager because of what he did last night.
Yes.
Luis Severino, nobody's even considering benching him. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they're just... None of these guys are the same type of pitcher, and they're all in different situations. I mean, in Severino's case, he's looking at... well, he's probably not going to be a two-star pitcher because they are going with a five-man, so he's at Minnesota... It's really not that bad
it's
a matchup.
2 months of bad pitching.
I get it. And then he's facing Boston at home, Baltimore at home, Boston on the road. So to your point, there's just no way I could use him against Boston. Even if Boston could throw out that spring training lineup like that, and I still don't think I could go for it.
All right. I think my overriding point here is just because these guys got you to the fantasy playoffs does not mean you not need to keep relying on them. Okay? And I know that sounds crazy to sit Luis Severino or name a hitter that's been really cold of late. Freeman hasn't been really cold. I mean, I'm trying to think of a top...
He hasn't hit well, though. You're right on that.
Reese Hoskins has been awful in the past month. Would I consider sitting Reese Hoskins in a weekly next week if I had a better option? Yes, I would.
But this is the only hesitation I have with a
Tyler White. I would play Tyler White over Reese Hoskins next week. Why wouldn't you?
Because
you want to win, or do you want to be loyal to players who weren't loyal to you?
Because I haven't even looked at whether the matchups stack things to Hoskins there. It's conceivable that White's matchups this week were very good. How do we know they're going to be that way next week?
I think next week he's facing Strasburg and Scherzer. I don't know.
I'll look.
I'm just saying, in a general sense, okay, yes, obviously I need to know who they're playing, okay? Let's not forget about that.
But yeah.
Severino at Minnesota to me doesn't sound like 6 innings of one-run ball. It sounds like 5 innings of 4-run ball.
With a good number of strikeouts, which has an advantage.
He raised 8. It's a break.
I get that. And I'm saying I watch him. I'm not impressed at all. I'm very concerned. And there's no way with Boston. But here's the problem with pitching right now. There isn't an awful lot of it. There's a lot of teams skipping guys, shutting pitchers down. Freddie Peralta got shut down, you know, as a starter for the rest of the year. There aren't enough options here to fill your games.
Anthony writes, Tyler White, Ahmed Rosario, and Hunter Renfro are all available. Top 20 hitters over the past month. Who can carry me down the stretch? Well, my first answer to this would be, what do you need?
Yes.
Because if you need stolen bases, Ahmed Rosario can do that. Then I would look at the schedule. Now, I know who the Mets are playing. It's mostly division stuff. Just like the Phillies.
So I'll give you the Padres schedule.
I mean, they're at home, but I don't know. Hunter Renfro is home roads. Maybe he's fine on the road.
Renfro is at Cincy for 4, at Seattle for 2, home Rangers for 3, home Giants for 3, at Dodgers for 3, at Giants for 3, home Diamondbacks for 3.
That sounds pretty good on the surface.
Did you have the Mets one? The Mets one is...
I think it's almost all division.
Yeah, but, well, most of the teams are going to be division. And
by the way, Hunter Renfro...
Yeah.
200 OPS better at home than on the road. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't want him in San Diego, 908 OPS in home games this season.
I do like what Renfro's doing. I agree with that. I'm thinking that's where I'm going just based on the Rosario can make the case. Mets, home Phillies 3, home Marlins 4, at Boston 3, at Philly 3, at Nationals 4, home Braves 3, home Marlins 3.
It's steals versus power. That's all that is.
So, yeah, and I'd agree. I think the need is going to drive. And the other thing, too, is it more important for you to fill middle infield than it is outfield? By the way, the Tyler White one. At Boston 3, at Detroit 3, home Diamondbacks 3, home Mariners 3, home Angels 3, at Toronto 3, at Baltimore 4. There's some pretty decent matchups
in
there.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And he's a regular first baseman. And by the way, I don't think Marwin Gonzalez is playing anytime soon. I had him on the head-to-head team. First at bat of the week, and he was done.
Jeez.
I have a quick cash brown from Leo here.
Oh, okay. What do you got, Leo?
You mentioned Reese Hoskins. your 30-second elevator pitch on how you feel about him in a dynasty format. Because obviously there have been the ups and downs.
Man, he's concerning me now.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, I thought for sure he'd be a 300 guy who batted 270 this season, and I don't think he's going to reach any of those.
Because I actually traded him for Nick Senzel and Bo Bichette in a dynasty with a lot of keeper spots earlier in the season, and I feel like now I probably wouldn't have been able to get that if I did that deal today.
Tristan was right on the batting average. I don't understand why he can't hit better than 246. Now, he was better recently, and then all of a sudden he just stopped hitting. Striking out, not making contact. He's a 27 homers, 84 ribs. So he's a 300 guy.
His splits are really strong. Like, it, July he was hitting 276, and then it's been 216, and then obviously this month he's hitting
063. Yeah, he's just been, he's been awful this month.
But he was bad in May, too, and then he was great in June and July. So it's really...
Great, so he's the Luis Castillo of outfielders. That's what, exactly what we need. I mean... Oh, wow, man. Here's a number for you. I don't get this. You and I, Tristan, have talked about Yasiel Puig forever. How is Rhys Hoskins batting 217 against lefties with only three home runs all season long?
Yeah,
I don't understand so many right-handed hitters right now who, who can't hit lefties. Yasiel Puig now, this is two straight seasons where he's been unplayable against them.
Yeah.
And Hoskins is too, although he's walking.
Traditionally, I find that about pitches with movement for righties against lefties. The other thing, too, is which area of the zone's being used, whether they're having troubles being busted in or with pitches outside, they can't cover them. And usually it's being busted inside. I'll have to look at Hoskins. Hoskins, in terms of, you know, like the peripherals, when we talk about all those underlying numbers, he kind of breaks the traditional mold. So hard read. By the way, Eric, to your point about the week 20, that would be week 23 matchup. Tyler White's going to get three left-handed starting pitchers, Francisco Liriano, Daniel Norris, and Robbie Ray, and the righty grade tentatively on Forecaster is 8. Rhys Hoskins, Phillies? They avoid Max Scherzer in the Washington series, but it's 5 righty pitchers, and the righty grade is a 5 right now. So, yeah.
I'd go Tyler White over Hoskins next week for sure. And by the way, I'd go Tyler White over Hunter Renfro to answer that gentleman's question. And by the way, remember I told you this last week, I wanted to make a trade. There's two teams in our points league that have a shot to win, and one of them made me an offer of basically a $20 Rhys Hoskins for a $38 J.D. Martinez. And I said no. As a Phillies fan, I said no. And in making the numbers, I was like, J.D. Martinez is number one in scoring in that league. And I thought, you know what? Right. I'd rather have J.D. Martinez and pay the extra $20 and also not affect the outcome of the league. I felt like that I'd be
doing
that.
Yeah, that you get too worked up with that. You do.
I didn't do it because, well, I like both guys. That it just shouldn't matter if I like both guys that are contending. The point is, I'm in fourth or fifth, and I thought, A, I'd rather have J.D. Martinez anyway, and B, I don't want to, on the final day, affect the race. I don't think that's right.
See, I have way too much respect for you to think that you would ever make a trade that was considered unfair. So
it was a fair trade, so it's okay.
Then why didn't, if I had a problem with you making a trade with somebody in contention, I should be getting to you first.
Well,
if you were telling me you were not going to trade with me and you were going to trade with competition, then I'd have a problem with it.
And by the way, a guy in one of my leagues told me this more than a decade ago. You don't have to take the best offer. People have biases.
You do not.
I mean, like, we're going to find out at Arizona Fall League from our friend Renee Miller about the cognitive biases of people when they're drafting players, when they're making trades, when they're doing just about anything. Of course I have a bias against certain teams. I don't write that. Would I draft Freddie Freeman? Of course. I'm just saying, like, we do think about things like this. And when you're making a trade, maybe you like the guy or gal in the league. Maybe you don't. There's a cognitive bias there. You don't have to take the best offer.
All right, let me know.
Real life baseball teams don't take the best offer all the time. I know that.
Use cognitive bias to inflate J.D. Martinez's price in that league.
Okay, oh, I'm sure it'll go up. But that's
wrote a note for myself for the offseason.
Whatever.
That's the auto new one.
I mean, you know what? I've evolved as a fantasy manager over the years. I really have. And I dropped out of my longest league for a lot of different reasons, but like early on in that league, I was not fun to play against. I was a jerk. I would make trades at all times of the day. I would rip people off. And then as the years went on, I wasn't like that anymore, but everybody in that league still viewed me that way. The point was, like, and that's why,
since the guy who, what was it? It was Jack Flaherty from Manuel Margot. Yeah, you still don't rip people off. I had to.
You offered
that. I did.
There's a difference if you offer it as opposed to me pushing.
Still not the worst trade I've made this year, but somebody else here knows which that is.
What's the worst trade? Oh, what'd you do? You gave away Harrison Bader.
Aroldis Chapman for Patrick Corbin. And Chapman got hurt like the next day. I'm a complete idiot.
Well, that may be true. That should be the lead of the show, by the way. Yeah. Still on. There's one more question. Matt writes, Oakland leads all teams in OPS in the second half of the season. Are they elite? Can they keep it up for next season, thus resulting in increased values across the board? Oakland is elite. They hit a lot of home runs. Some interesting home road splits. I don't know if you've noticed them for the Oakland Athletics. More home runs on the road. I mean, obviously.
I'm shocked.
They are fifth in the majors in scoring runs this season. Where I want to look at, like, home road splits here. At home, Oakland is 19th in scoring runs and not hitting a whole lot of home runs either. They're 17th in home runs. So basically, Oakland is a good road offense. That's kind of interesting. I mean, does that affect the way you do things?
They're second in runs per game on the road.
Yeah, that's a lead offense on the road.
They're now, the majors' leading home run rate team in road games. And, yeah, to your point about the home, yeah, 20th in the home run rate and runs per game, they are. Yeah, you're right. 23rd.
But there's only two Oakland hitters that I would say I really want moving ahead. Chris Davis hits 40 home runs a year. Okay, he's a top. I'm going to rank him top 50 next year. How can't we? Every year, it's 40 home runs. The other guy's Matt Chapman. I think Matt Chapman's on his way to, like, maybe 40, maybe not 40, but 35 home runs at some point. He will be, I think I want to find a way to get Matt Chapman in my top 100. That's a good batting average. It's going to be hard. But, like, if I was ranking Adrian Beltre as a borderline top 100 guy, Matt Chapman's batting 282 with 22 home runs, and he was in the DL for a while. Why can't Matt Chapman be a top 100 guy in fantasy? He can be. It doesn't jump out to you. But the point is, like, nobody's going to draft Jed Lowry next year expecting that. Simeon, Piscotty, Matt Olson is just power, nothing else, and not enough power anymore. He should be hitting 35 home runs. He's not doing it.
Matt Chapman's my boy. You know that. I love the power potential. The batting average is something I have to do a little bit more of a breakdown on. That would be what keeps him out of the top 100, if anything does. The glove keeps him in the lineup, and I've made that point so many times how much I love the good defenders. He is light Nolan Arenado. That is what he is.
Ramon Laureano next year.
Yeah.
He looks good.
Yeah, you know, see the question is too broad for us to answer it like with this yes or no kind of thing. I mean, like, that's not the right way to look at it. You look at the individual players. I love the fact you picked Chapman as the second A of interest.
You didn't pick Piscotty.
You didn't pick Matt Olson. I think there's some interest. Like, you mentioned Laureano. There's some interest there.
There's interest in others, but Matt Olson to me is just never going to hit for batting average.
Yeah.
So it's like a poor man's Hoskins. I mean, they came up together, hit all those home runs together, and now, like,
yeah,
the bloom comes off the rose to some degree.
Matt Olson's best case scenario is that he has the currently bad Chris Davis's career. That would be a pretty good career for him.
Oh, no, come on. Nobody wants to hit 196 or whatever Chris Davis of Baltimore is doing.
Again, I used the word career.
I mean, he had a couple of years where he hit 50, didn't he?
He was awesome for a good chunk of time.
Matt Olson could do more than that.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of what he provided overall, the greater impact, I think that if Olson gives you five awesome years, that's a good career for the guy.
All right. Well, we're done for today. Thank you so much for returning to listen to our show. We will be back on Monday and Thursday next week, and there's only 3 weeks left of the season. We will be here with you to answer your hash browns and to lead you to victory in your myriad fantasy baseball leagues. Thanks so much to the whole gang here. Leo Howell, of course, Anthony Calatayud, and Kyle Soppy, and Tristan Cockcroft. I am Eric Carrable. Have an awesome weekend. Everything is
awesome. Darkness.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.